Welcome to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley, and I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Hunting the Way is a ministry of Our Sportsman of Colorado show, heard every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. on our sister station, KOZ 560. If this is your first time to join us, again, welcome. I want to invite you to visit our website, huntingtheway.com. If you'd like to catch any of our past shows, all of our podcasts are there. We also welcome your comments and questions. You can email me, Scott, at huntingtheway.com. Our show is really about a lot about life and a lot of things that can come up in our lives. And from time to time, we have different pastors, evangelists, and friends on just to kind of talk about different issues. And today's something a little bit different. And a lot of things that we hear in our churches about missions. And so I'm glad to welcome my pastor in our studio today, Clifton Miser from First Baptist Church of Englewood. And our church is heavily involved in missions and something that we call home missions. So we thought we would spend a little time on that today. And kind of give you some clarity on, you know, what missions really is all about from a biblical perspective. And, you know, and maybe shed some light on that to maybe help you support some missionaries if you're not doing that currently. So, Pastor, welcome and thanks for being here.
It's good to be here, Scott, and I appreciate you letting me come in.
So missions, let's talk a little bit. And, you know, our church, again, is heavily involved in that. But let's start out just kind of where this whole thought of missionaries came about.
Well, Scott, as you know, most of the time when we think about missionaries, we think about people going to a foreign country, and they go there, they win people to Christ, and they establish churches in those countries. But there's another facet to missions that really, about 50 years ago, we began to rethink this whole idea of just sending missionaries to foreign countries, and we begin to think about home missions, and that's missions to the United States of America. And in the past, sometimes we haven't thought about that as missions, but it really is, because they're doing the same thing in home missions as the foreign missionaries are doing, which is starting churches by leading people to Christ and establishing a church in an area around the country. And our church has always been involved in foreign missions and to some degree home missions. But about 30 years ago, we really got heavily involved in home missions and started a home mission conference. Actually, we didn't start the conference. The conferences were started by Dr. Dennis Brown out in Yakima, Washington, and then he started a conference here in Colorado, and that conference then moved to our church because of the size of the conference. And basically what it is a help to home missionaries that are going out and starting churches around the United States.
What do you look for as a pastor? And we'll get into some maybe some common mistakes churches can make in maybe helping someone do this. But what are just things that you personally look for? Someone comes to you, says, I feel this calling of being a, you know, home missionary. What are some of the things you look for in that person or questions you may ask them?
Well, first, Scott, they have to be coming out of a church. There's an idea today that is floating around that you can just freelance and kind of go out on your own and do your own thing. And certainly we are thankful for anyone that's led to Christ. But the biblical format for starting churches is churches starting churches. And one of the biggest mistakes that is made in home missions is it's just individuals deciding to do something. And they have no home church. They have no sending church per se. And as a result of that, great difficulties can come from that. And so we have found that the biblical format, the biblical truth concerning home missions is the same as it is for foreign missions, and that is that missionary or missionary family needs to have a sending church. When they don't, there's just a whole list of things that can take place that I think is what God warned us about. Mm-hmm. And obviously in the scripture, especially in Acts chapter 13, we see that men are sent out from that church. Now, albeit the Holy Ghost is the one that basically places this upon their hearts to go out and do this, but that church basically commissions them to go out from that church and start a church. And so when I say that we have a home mission conference, we are not having missionaries come in, home missionaries come in, and telling them that we are starting their churches. They have to have a home church, a sending church, before they ever come to us or come to the conference.
Right. In our circles a lot, we will hear the term, I've been called to this certain city or state area. What does that mean, or what should that mean to that person that states that?
Well, sometimes they feel an internal urge to go do something. And the danger with that is people get urges that have nothing to do with God. And, you know, we've both seen this in foreign missions and in home missions. But, you know, coming from the southern part of the United States, I really didn't have a good concept of home missions. And the reason is because the southern part of the United States is pretty much saturated with churches. Not to say that they don't need more churches, but in comparison to the northeast or the northwestern part of the United States, it's really saturated with churches in the south. And so there's just not a strong mentality many times in that part of the country about starting brand new churches in the United States. And so when I moved to Colorado, I moved to the northwest, I began to see the vastness of the land and the sparseness of churches. And so I began to realize something, that we had concentrated a lot of our effort in the south, and especially in the southeast. And so when I came here and I began to see the great need for this part of the country, what I realized is sometimes the calling had more to do with family ties or location ties than it did the real need of planting a church in an area that doesn't have churches, or maybe a very few churches. And so when we're dealing with this issue of a call, I'm very, very careful, first of all, in dealing with this issue of an urge, or as some people would call it, a leading. But then I'm also very careful when I'm asking people, why are you going here? Why are you going there? As to the real reason why. You know, I remember a few years ago, a couple of young men came to me. I was in another state at a meeting, and they found out that I was from Colorado, and they came up to me and asked me about coming to Colorado to start a church. And the more I questioned them, the more I realized it had probably more to do with the mountains and and all the things that we, the wildlife, yeah, and all the things that we love here as far as the visual. But that's not a good reason to come start a church in a place. Churches have to do with people, not mountains and wildlife. And so you just have to sort of sort through what's in their mind and in their heart about why they're going where they're going.
You're listening to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley. My pastor in studio today, Clifton Miser, First Baptist Church of Englewood. And this show is not about trying to get people to visit our church. But if you do not have a church home, I would certainly like to invite you to our church. We're located at 3190 South Broadway in Englewood. We're kind of the old-fashioned type. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Great children's programs as well. Great youth department at our church. Our church owns and operates Silver State Baptist Youth Camp up in the Sedalia area. So we would certainly like to invite you to come. Now, in March, we have a conference called the Home Missions Conference. Let's talk about that a minute. And that's the first Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That'll be March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd this year. So let's talk about our conference and the importance of that and what we're able to do.
Sure. The Home Mission Conference, as I said, we did not start that conference here. Dr. Brown, many years ago, had a real burden for starting churches here in the United States, because he realized something. He realized that if we didn't have good home missions, that we would have a failure in our foreign missions. Eventually, our foreign missions would deplete. And so he began to start these mission conferences. The first one, like I said, was in Washington. The second one was really here in Colorado. And because of the size of the church that it was started in, eventually it grew out of that church, and they asked if they could move it to Englewood, because we just had larger facilities and a greater ability to handle the number of people. There are conferences now, a great conference down in Oklahoma that I'll actually be attending this next week. And then there's some that have cropped up out in the eastern part of the United States, and they're really springing up everywhere around the country because there is a realization for a need for home missions. Now, what we do is this. We have Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday services. They begin Tuesday evening, and then they run Wednesday morning, and then we take a break in the afternoon, and then it's Wednesday night. The same schedule on Thursday. And what it's designed to do is to allow home missionaries, usually it's it's a family, a young family, that has decided that God wants them to start a church in some part of the United States, and they come here so that they can share that burden with other pastors and many times have their needs met. A lot of immediate needs are met. Some of those are medical. Some of those have to do with just common things like vehicles breaking down, et cetera, et cetera. But what Dr. Brown realized is many of these missionaries, both home and foreign, were traveling from church to church to church to raise their support because we do not have a headquarters that distributes support. Our missionaries have to go to churches, present their field, wherever they're going to be going, and then that individual local church decides whether they're going to support them or not. And so Dr. Brown realized that if we could have a conference where we could gather pastors in, especially in the western part of the United States where you've got a lot of distance between churches, if we could have a conference where pastors could come in and the missionaries could come in together, it would abbreviate that time that they would spend on what we refer to as deputation, which is the raising of their support. And also, it would give us a place to come together in fellowship around this whole idea of home missions. And so we have preaching, we have fundraising. It's just a great, great 2.5 days. And as you know, Scott, we always say every year to our church, it's every aircraft up. And what we mean by that, we nearly have 100% of our people in the church working during the home mission conference. We have several families, literally, and men in our church that take off work and they take their vacation time so that they can be at the home mission conference and help during that conference. We serve meals. We take care of the people that are here. And normally, there's between 60 and 80 missionary families that will come to the home mission conference trying to raise support and trying to have immediate needs met and getting to know the pastors in this part of the country. We've had churches started all the way from Maine to California and everything in between. And so it's not just limited to the Northwest or the Western part of the United States as far as the people that attend. They attend from all over the country. And literally, we see churches started all over the country. Probably one of the biggest blessings for us is just the amount of churches that are started as a result of helping these missionaries get out and get to the place where God is placing upon their heart to go. And it's just a tremendous, tremendous 2.5 days.
And, you know, getting back to earlier talking about being called and all, it better be a God calling to go to Kansas or some of these other states that are around us because, you know, we've been out hunting before and my buddy of mine, Red, that hunts with me, you know, we don't hunt on Sundays, we don't hunt on Wednesday night, all that. So we go to church and we go to a lot of these small towns and visit some of these pastors that come to our missions conference. And year after year, it may be them, their family, and very few members, maybe 5-10 people. Sometimes there's been less than that. So it really takes that God calling to really know that's where God wants you to be at that kind of work. And so with our conference is really true about encouragement for those people that they see, hey, there's all these people back praying for you and the church is supporting you and all that too.
Absolutely, Scott. It's one of the side benefits, I guess you could say, about the conference is we really teach and train our people at First Baptist Church that the home missionaries and the pastors that come in are our guests. And some of these people that come in are coming in from areas, like you said, where they may be 10,000 feet up in the mountains, snow on the ground, you know, 9 months out of the year. And they may not have 5 or 10 people or even less than that in a church. And sometimes it takes 5 to 10 years to really establish something in a church that is solid and moving forward in those areas. You have small rural areas in the Midwest, towns of 50 to 100 people, and they need churches just like everyone else does. But it takes time, and it's a little bit longer process sometimes going to those areas, and that's where the sending church really is critical at that point, because that sending church keeps contact with that pastor. They keep encouraging them. And then also when they come to our home mission conference, we have the tremendous opportunity to encourage these young couples to stay in there and keep on going to where God has led them to what God has called them to. And so it's a great blessing for us to be able to do that when they come to us. As you know, Scott, we've had many, many young men and young women come to us and say after the conference and say, you know, I was just about ready to give up and throw in the towel because it's just been so hard and so difficult. And many of those young couples are bivocational. The pastor is working another job or two jobs and trying to start that church. And sometimes that's very, very discouraging. And so they can come to a conference like this and they can be with other people that have done this before. They've been out there. They've went through all that discouragement. And it helps them to talk to them. It also helps them just to be around people that love them and care for them for that 2.5 days.
Right.
And, you know, Scott, many times we have home missionaries come to us after the conference and say, you know, I was just about ready to quit, but this really, really gave me that encouragement that I needed to go back and basically just start again and get back in there and do it again. And, you know, we have churches all around Colorado. We have churches all over the United States that literally was at a point in time when they were about ready to give up. And somebody came along and encouraged them at a home mission conference, and they got back in there. And today, there's a healthy church in that city. I'll give you one great example. I preached in a church just a few years ago that is a direct result of the home mission conference and the support and the encouragement of the home mission conference. It's out in Kansas, a little town in Kansas, and the people there had been there for 15 years. There was only a handful of people that were ready to just give up because they couldn't find a building to rent anymore, and the building that they had was going away. So they were just very, very discouraged. And a former pastor from the church here at First Baptist went in there, just started loving those people and caring for them. And in about 2 years, they literally had grown to the point that they were able to build a brand new building. That building is all paid off. It's a beautiful building. And I'll be very honest with you, those were some of the most excited people about serving Christ that I've ever had in a revival, just simply because somebody came in and cared for them and said, you know, God's not done with this town. God's not done with you. Let's just get this together and start again. And they did. And that is not just an individual scenario. That scenario is played out all over the United States.
You're listening to Hunting the Way. Again, my guest today is my own pastor, Clifton Miser, First Baptist Church of Englewood. If you're just joining us, talking about home missions, and our church has a wonderful conference that will be held March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of this year. We're located at 3190 South Broadway, and we would certainly like to invite you to attend that. Let's talk about and I think this is a dangerous area out there a lot of times when we get to finances and financial support. What is the biblical way, in your opinion? And when I say your opinion, what's the biblical opinion, okay, to really support missionaries? Because I see this a lot, and you, I know you do, you know, seniors sometimes they'll see something on a TV program and not know anything about people. And, of course, these guys are good on TV, tugging at heartstrings. But what's really the biblical way in supporting missions?
Well, Scott, again, you know, I don't want to be beating this same drum again and again, but it is just absolutely necessary that there be a home church and a sending church. And that's not just for the home missionary, but that's even for these conferences. It's not just getting together somewhere in a facility and getting people together and deciding they want to start home missions or start a church somewhere or whatever. This is a local church with the responsibility and the authority to be able to construct something like this, such as a home mission conference, and to keep it where it needs to be as far as realizing we're not starting those churches. That's coming through their home church. Now, the problem that ensues is sometimes, as you say, seniors hear something on a television broadcast or a radio broadcast, and they send off literally sometimes thousands and thousands of dollars and have no way to know right. where that's going or what's happening to that. You know, that works in the secular world. Same thing happens. And so what we encourage people to do is make sure and let their home church deal with those finances and filter those finances. Now, concerning home missions and establishing churches, one thing that we absolutely just constantly teach and preach to home missionaries is that they keep their finances intact, but also that they realize that some parts of the country are much more difficult on a financial level than others. Mm-hmm. For instance, as you know, sometimes people come out of the southern part of the United States, they come to the Northwest to start a church. The basic process of that is they come out of their home church sends them, and then they raise support from church to church to church to go start that church. But what happens sometimes is they fail to realize that a house in the southern part of the United States that cost $70,000 to $50,000, $100,000, Out here, you're talking about 300,000 to 400,000.
Right.
I'm always amused at the two young men from the deep, deep South that ran into me at a meeting and said that they wanted to come to Colorado and start a church. And I asked them, how much financial support do you have? And they said they had $50 each coming in that they were going to use. And while that seems almost outrageous in our minds, if you go to the southern part of the United States, it takes so much less money to live. Now, you make less money, but it takes less money to live. But that whole economic mindset plays out in a church, because if you come out here and you've been paying $100 or $300 a month rent for a facility to start a church in, and out here you're talking about $3,000, it is a shock sometimes to these young couples. And so preparation and preparing them with a mental understanding about where they're going, the cost factor, etc. Now, can God overcome that? Absolutely. But God uses wisdom to overcome things. Mm-hmm. And so we encourage them to be wise in basically assessing the area that they're going to and then raising enough financial support so that when they get there, they're able to concentrate on starting that church as opposed to just being buried financially, because it's a bad testimony. It's a bad testimony.
Sure.
If you go to a town and you start a church and the thing collapses, not as a result of anything that that was spiritually wrong, in the sense that you did something that was doctrinally wrong or you committed some heresy, but because of your finances.
Mm-hmm.
So finances are very, very important when you're starting a new church.
Right. There's standards or guidelines, I guess I could call it, for pastors in the Bible. You got to meet certain standards to be a pastor, a deacon. Are those exactly the same for someone being a missionary? Because they're kind of a pastor.
Yes, they are, Scott. And again, this is where that home pastor, you know, they can assess where this person is spiritually. One of the things that happens sometimes that it really hinders a new church work is the maturity level of the person starting that church. And that's something that home church and that home pastor can determine. Is this person really mature enough to go out and face the difficulties and the hardships that take place in this format? Are they really able to go out and raise their family and keep their family in spiritual tact, so to speak,
right,
as well as start a church? Because it is taxing. It is absolutely taxing. It's difficult. You're spending a lot of time in a new church plant with some very basic things, and sometimes that does interfere with family time. And so it's very, very good to have a wise pastor to sit down and find out, is this person a novice, as the Bible refers to them? Is this person immature? If they are, it may be best if they wait a period of time to start that church and just let their maturity level catch up a little bit before they attempt to go out and lead others.
Sure. And like you say, it's a family affair, so to speak, with kids and all the things. And, you know, we certainly know missionaries right now that are going through some very trying times, you know, health issues, all the things like that. And, you know, if this is something that you're not involved in your church, I highly recommend you get involved. Sometimes I think, you know, it's easy for us, you know, to write the tithe check, different things that we may do, but yet, you know, we've never really got into that deal of supporting missions. But again, there are guidelines, there's proper ways to do it, and hopefully, you know, our broadcast today is shedding some light on that. From your perspective, in our last couple of minutes here today, from your perspective as our pastor and our missions, what is do you love to see when at our conference, and what brings you, you know, that joy of visiting with missionaries and hearing their stories and seeing the work they're doing? What brings you that?
Well, Scott, as you know, and we hear this even in secular society, we're living in a very selfish world today, and a very selfish society even in our own country. And self and me and all of those terms are something that you hear continually attached to probably this generation and the previous generation. But here's what really, really excites me and thrills me about the Home Mission Conference and about home missions. We're seeing young couples, literally, some of them could be out here working jobs, high-paying jobs, and they could be drawing in a lot of finances and living pretty much a life of the American dream and comfort. But we're seeing these young couples literally sacrifice themselves in the sense that they're leaving their families. They're going completely across the country to a place sometimes that is totally foreign to them and culture that is totally different from where they have come from. And we're seeing them go and we're seeing them plant churches, literally hundreds of churches every year, all around the United States, and doing that with joy in their hearts. I'm thinking here just of a list of young men and young women that have come to the Home Mission Conference a couple of years ago, a couple that left an extremely lucrative business in California and went to Hawaii, which is a very difficult place to start a new church because expenses are enormous there.
Sure.
And went there, and literally they're living a life of just bare means, to be able to start that church. And we see couples, and you know, you've been there, Scott, you've seen these couples. They're not coming here with great wealth and great financial backing to be able to go do this. Many of them are just literally operating on a shoestring for themselves financially so that they can do what God has called them to do, which is start a New Testament church somewhere here in the United States. And it absolutely humbles me and it thrills me to see that there is a segment of our society that is young and that wants to serve Christ with all their heart and is willing to pay the price to do that. We're just living in such a comfort zone society today. To see this, it's just nearly overwhelming to see what these young couples are willing to do to go out and take the gospel, take the truth of the Word of God around this country. I know last year we had a young man and his family. And he had a very good business out on the East Coast, and they completely dissolved that business and just basically loaded up and came out here and started a brand new church in a storefront. There's a young man that was literally a great singer, singing all over the Eastern Seaboard, and literally for the rest of his life, he's a young man, and for the rest of his life, he could have done this. I had been at meetings where he was, and I was always blessed and just in awe of his singing ability. And of course, having that ability, churches had scheduled him. He was scheduled up for 5-6 years just to sing. And they literally packed up and got the motor home and drove all the way from the East Coast to Washington State, started a brand new church. Our church was out there this summer, helped them do some canvassing in the area, passing out flyers, etc. And I'm just humbled to be a part of it, because to see these young couples doing what they're doing to serve the Lord, it encourages me to serve the Lord even more.
Absolutely.
Again, our conference is March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. That's at 3190 South Broadway, First Baptist Church of Inglewood. We'd like to invite you there. Pastor, thank you so much, and we will look forward to our next visit. And we want to thank you for joining us. Please visit our website, huntingtheway.com. Again, we welcome your comments or questions. You can email me, scott@huntingtheway.com. Have a great day, and remember, God's way is the best way. Thanks for joining us.